Excellent, excellent. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited, and I hear some of her ideas about talking about, helping our younger people with budgets and people with taxes and things of that nature. Super excited about that. And so, and in some ways, it's a great opportunity to teach people how to fish. And so if you would like to help out in the ministry, see her, and you're going to maybe see some things pop up. Some things will happen maybe at her office because it just makes it easier for her, which is very, very local right around this area. But super excited about all that. Listen, we got a lot of things happening. One is thank you so far for bringing all of the toilet paper and paper towels for Riverwood. You are helping us wipe out our goal, right? And so, yeah, pun intended. Scooter, where you at? So, but we appreciate, keep bringing, because these are going to go down to Riverwood to help them out. And so make sure that if you're at wherever you shop, Walmart, Kroger, whatever, you can go ahead and make that happen. Okay, y'all talking about me. I can see it over there. So, yeah, I'm going to put y'all on timeout. So, hey, listen, one thing, I grew up in Indiana. One thing I totally miss from living in Indiana, and maybe the only thing I miss from living in Indiana, is that rich dirt that we always had. I could grow anything there. I think maybe I told you the story about years ago when the cornfields had been picked. There was a few ears of corn just kind of laying around. And as a kid, this is like in October, I took those kernels, and I don't know why, I just was just playing, you know. Went out into my grandfather's garden, and I put him in the garden. And the next thing I know is he's calling me early in the spring going, Art, did you plant any corn in my garden? Because I got corn springing up. And so I miss that rich dirt that you could use to kind of grow anything, right? You could really grow anything. And we had a huge garden with, I'm talking, it had everything from sweet corn, green beans, the green peas that you'd have to eat, that I always hated, but strawberries, squash, cabbage, cucumbers, eggplant, green peppers, and of course tomatoes of all sizes. And there was nothing better than to walk into the garden and grab a strawberry right off the vine and go and rinse it off and then eat it right there. I love that. Miss that. I always loved that garden. It was, to me, it was huge. I don't know how big it really was, but to me, it was huge. And I kind of miss all of that. And I don't know if you've got a green thumb. I've tried in our area, in our backyard to grow stuff. We've got tall trees. We hardly get any sun, and it just hasn't worked out as I would hope to. So the hopes of me having a garden right where we're at is probably not going to happen. But it's fun to be able to be a part and see things grow and to see things kind of flourish, which kind of leads us to our sermon series that we're in for the next few weeks. In fact, I typically get ADD, so if it's not a four-week series or a six-week series, I go, oh, I'm kind of done, right? But this is going to be 9 weeks, guys. There's nine fruit, and so we're going to be here for a bit. Pitch a tent, and we're just going to kind of hang out right here, right? And so for about 9 weeks, just hanging out together. And what's interesting is you and I are called to be fruitful. We're called to be fruitful. Starts all the way back in Genesis as the Lord takes Adam and Eve, and he's placed them in the garden, and he says, it says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. But I find it interesting that the very first thing that the Lord says is be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be creative. Be productive. And so while God is the only one who can create out of nothing, we were created to be fruitful. We were created to be fruitful. It's a part of our DNA. It's because we are made in His image. I believe that we have this innate desire within us to be creative, to be productive, to kind of advance the things that we are working with so that we might be able to see them grow and flourish, whatever that might be. We're created to be fruitful. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 15. I just want to pull back real quick. A few weeks ago, we talked about John 15. We're going to hang out here today. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and get John 15. And if you got a paper Bible, even better, right? Paper Bibles, even better. But if you got the YouVersion Bible app, that's okay as well. Hop on that. I appreciate Scooter today. Scooter's like, dude, I brought my paper Bible today. I got my paper Bible. I said, awesome. He goes, but I forgot a highlighter. And I said, well, hang on. And I went and got him a highlighter. So he's ready to highlight, underline, draw arrows, and all of that. But in John chapter 15, Jesus says to his disciples, and this is going to sound real familiar for most of us. And as I'm reading, I got some homework for you to do, right? As you're on there, especially, well, you can only do this if you got a paper Bible, but maybe you can pay attention if you've got the video, got it on your phone, right? You can kind of pay attention a little bit and figure this out. But if you got your paper Bible, I got some things I need you to circle, underline, or draw a rectangle around. I'll let you figure out how you want to do that. But whenever you see the word fruit, I want you to kind of pull that apart, right? Kind of circle that. Wherever you see the word remain, if you've got the NIV, or abide, if you've got the King James Version or the New King James Version, circle that as well. So it says in verse 1 to John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, if I had a paper Bible, I would underline, I'm the true vine, and then I would also underline, and my Father is the gardener, right? Those are two important things. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. So to make sure we get all this straight, and I know we talked about this a few weeks ago when we landed here, but God the Father is the gardener, right? So on the side of your Bible, you might want to put, you know, gardener equals Father God, right? Because God the Father is the gardener. Jesus says that he is the vine. So Jesus is the vine. We mentioned this earlier. You may already have it in your paper Bible, but you can put in Jesus equals vine. And then we are the branches. We are the branches. So you might even put, you know, I am the branch right there. You know, I am, or, you know, put your name equals branch. You are the branch. We are the branch. And so just as branches can't produce fruit on their own, Jesus says that no one apart from him can produce any sort of spiritual fruit. He goes on to say this. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? In fact, I would kind of underline and circle that one right there. It's kind of interesting that Jesus says that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, he says this. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned, because they're not useful for anything. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Show yourselves to be my disciples, Jesus says. Yeah, I think it's significant that Jesus uses the word fruit 7 times. 7 times in that little span right there of those 8 verses, Jesus uses the word fruit. And then he uses the word remain or abide or to stay connected to 8 times. It's significant that he mentions that over and over and over again. Kind of like you were singing, was it Every Praise, right? We sang that, you know, quite a few times. Some of you might go, yeah, we are singing every praise. We're doing it again. Yes, we are. And so Jesus kind of does the same thing. It's fruit. He's reminding them. He's pounding this into them that they're to produce fruit. And the only way you can do that is if you remain in him. And so 7 times he mentions fruit, 8 times he mentions remain. And when something is repeated in Scripture, we need to pay special attention to this. So how do we unpack all this, right? What do we do with this, right? Well, first we need to understand, first thing is this, that we were created. You are created to be fruitful. We were created to be fruitful, which means as followers of Christ, we don't have the luxury of putting our spiritual life on cruise control, or if you're a Tesla driver, autopilot, right? We don't have that luxury. We don't have that luxury. We were meant to bear fruit. Satina mentioned Matthew 25. We were meant to make sure that we bear fruit, make sure we add to our talents, right? It's for the Lord, for His glory, for His purposes, not for our own. But what kind of fruit are we supposed to produce? What kind of fruit are we supposed to produce? Does this mean that we are to immediately begin producing fruit by going out and preaching and teaching and ministering and helping and jumping into every ministry and every good opportunity that presents itself to us? Is this the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about? Or is there something else that we need to do first before we do all that preaching and teaching and ministering and helping? I had this youth ministry professor. She was absolutely incredible, and she gave me this illustration. Some of you have probably seen this illustration before, but she talked about how as ministers, as people that serve Christ, so if you serve in a ministry somewhere, if you're doing something, you're ministering to the people around you. And so this jug right here represents Jesus. And every time we read the word, every time we pray, every time we go to small group, that the Lord begins to pour into us. And I want to say especially our own reading and our own praying on our own. I think that there is top tier. You're gonna learn more by spending time with the Lord and your Bible open and nobody else around than you will, I think, in this time right here. There's something about that when you just say, Lord, I'm right here to meet with you. Won't you meet with me? He does. It's amazing how He does this. And so that's why I encourage you, if you don't have your own Bible study or your own time to pray, make that happen. Carve out 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, right? Or even more if you can. Carve that time out. If you're like, I don't know if I can do that, then schedule it in like you would schedule an appointment with someone else, right? You schedule an appointment with a doctor. You schedule an appointment with the guy that's going to come to your house and kill your bugs. Schedule an appointment with the Lord. That this is the time that I'm going to make this happen. It will be the most important appointment you'll ever have. And when that happens, the Lord's able to pour into us, right? He's able to pour into us. And here's, when God pours into us, then we are able to pour into other people, right? So then we can make sure that, you know, I'm serving this person. Like, you know, maybe some of you were upstairs making sure that people were being greeted as they were coming in, and so you're pouring out. Maybe you were teaching a Sunday school class, and so you're pouring out. And you got to make sure, though, that you're continuing to go back to the Lord. And if you don't, you're going to be ministering out of the emptiness that's there. And I'm going to tell you something. It is super easy for that to happen. As a minister, I'm going to tell you something. There's a gravitational pull on a Monday morning to come in and go, well, I got next sermon, right? Next up, right? And to work on that or work on what's ever happened or make phone calls and all those things. When the very first thing I should be doing is spending time with the Lord. That's the first thing. In fact, that drives everything else. I don't. My Bible study has nothing to do with sermon. My own personal time doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. But I'm going to tell you something. If I don't do that, that sermon doesn't get done. It's hard. It's uphill sledding, right? It's hard. It's hard to push that thing uphill if I don't do that because, well, quite frankly, I'm empty. I'm empty. And then, so my youth ministry professor gave this illustration. Maybe you've seen it before. It's nothing new. But she mentioned that the best thing that we can do in ministering to others is to not minister out of our emptiness, but to empty out of the fullness that God gives to us by making sure that we're spending time with Him. And so what we do is that, if I can make sure this won't fall down, is that as the Lord pours into us, that the overflow starts ministering to the people around us. That's why it's important that you and I spend time and remain on the vine. Because you and I can do nothing, nothing apart from the Lord. We can't do anything without Him. Without Him, Art Stansberry is dead in the water. And let me just say this, for those of you that are excited about, it's been wonderful to see things happen. Satina and others are like, I got this idea for ministry. I love that because if you guys are familiar with Fodak just down the street, that started out with someone going, you know, I got this idea of rebuilding wheelchairs in my garage. And that turned into something where now you've got medical supplies going around the world. Right, and that started with someone, but it's just an idea. That's exciting. That is exciting. But let me just encourage you, no matter where, what ministry you want to start or what ministry you're currently in, that if you don't do this, if you don't do this, if you're not letting the Lord pour into you, eventually it's going to be tough because ministry, as we kind of said before, just like life with Christ, is a knockdown, drag out, bloody knuckles fight. And there's an enemy out there. And he is going to come after you. And there are going to be times that you just want to go, you know what? Forget this, right? I can't tell you how many times on a Monday morning I've quit, right? I've quit in my brain. You know, then I went, okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and go, right? I guess I'll go ahead and make that happen. I guess I'll do that. It's just because that's just the way ministry is. It's nothing, you know, it's just the way it works. It's the way it is. And so you are going to have to, all of us are going to have to spend time with the Lord. I'm the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, that stings a little bit, right? Does he not know that I'm Art Stansberry? Does he not know the talents? Oh, he knows. He knows. And apart from him, I could do nothing. And so Paul shares to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And he just says this. He says, and this is kind of where we're going to be throughout the whole 9 weeks. It says, and this is probably very familiar to most of you. Some of you may even, how many of you have the fruits of the Spirit memorized? All right, some of you have, that's awesome if you do. I always get a few of them wrong. I also learned these in King James Version. And so when you get to other things like forbearance, you're like, forbearance? What is that right there? That's not even supposed to be one, right? But in the NIV, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience. I would even say perseverance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And Paul says, against such things there is no law. We'll talk about that much later throughout the course of this, what Paul's talking about there. But what it just kind of shows us is this. There's an inner fruit that we are to bear, that we are to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the inner fruit there that we're supposed to allow the Lord to just flourish within us. Before we can minister and produce outward fruit, that's what I'm going to call it, right? Ministering to people and you know, seeing people repent of their sins and baptize into Christ before we can see people's lives changed and those types of things. There's got to be something that happens within us first. We have to meet with the Lord, spend time with Him in prayer, allow His words to shape us, form us, transform us, and continue to transform us. We never arrive at a plateau, right? We never arrive at this space where we go, okay, I kind of read the whole Bible. I don't need to do it again, right? No. Are you kidding me? Oh, no. Now, you're just getting started. Just getting started. And so the transformation, the formation, the shaping of our lives, it's a lifetime of spending time with God. It's a lifetime. And the more we spend time with Him, the more the Lord can produce the kind of fruit that He needs to produce within us. Listen, we need this fruit of the Spirit, right? We need the fruit of the Spirit in order to minister to the people that are inside MC3 and outside these walls of MC3. Without the fruit of the Spirit, we are dead in the water when it comes to ministry. We have to love people that we minister to. I heard someone say one time, before you preach, you should ask yourselves, do I love the people that I'm going to preach to? Right? And so I ask myself, do I love you? Absolutely. You guys are awesome. I love you. So we have to love the people that we minister to because people are the ministry. People are the ministry. You cannot just love certain aspects of ministry. I love preaching, or I love singing, or I love playing music. You cannot just love those. You have to love people. Love. People are the ministry. Otherwise, you'll be just like the Pharisees in ministry for yourself, all for me. We'll talk more about that next week, but that's the kind of love that we're supposed to have. And that kind of love only comes from Jesus, only comes from Him. We have to have a peace in our hearts, peace of God in our hearts. Ministry is taxing, it's trying, it's chaotic at times. You got a lot of things happen at once. And that's the way sometimes the enemy wants it. He wants to keep things chaotic. And you got to be cool under fire. You got to be cool under fire, not letting the stress get to you. And that only comes by spending time with the Lord, recognizing that God is literally bigger than any problem that you will ever face. We have to have this inner peace in ministry, that we're able to go, okay, God, I don't know what's going on or what to do here. I need your help. I'm just going to give it to you. And there are times the Lord has given me a peace that, as the scripture says, that peace that surpasses all understanding, when I didn't have that peace before. There are times where, you know, things are all swirling around, and you're like, you know, I mean, remember the old Calgon commercial? Calgon, take me away. If you do, you're old. And so it just kind of happens, you know. There are times you're just like, Lord, you guys got to speak peace into this. And He does. Very interesting how the Lord can do that. We need that peace. And that inner peace in ministry, that kind of peace only comes from Jesus. It only comes from Him. We have to have what the NIV says is forbearance, patience. We have to have that. We have to have that. We can't bug out at the first sign of trouble or the first sign of resistance. Maybe you heard of the guy who was awakened by his wife. She said, it's time to get up, time to go to church. He said, I don't want to go to church. The sermons are boring, and I don't like the people. They don't like me either. He said, give me one good reason why I should go to church. And she says, because you're the minister. And there are times where sometimes you just want to quit, right? You're just like, I don't know if I've got it in me. I don't know what's going on. I just want to hang it up. And if you're going to produce fruit, then you're going to need that. You're going to need the fruit of patience, to persevere through things, to keep on going, to not give up. That kind of perseverance, that kind of patience only comes from Jesus. We can see that patience that Jesus has with the people that He ministers to all throughout Scripture. Even the Pharisees, as big of jerks that they could be sometimes, you could see the patience He had with them, not to call, you know, 12 legions of angels down to knock them out, right? It's the same with kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The inner fruit, that inner fruit that we're to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, which means that we can't produce this on our own. I brought a branch with me got this from my house. And, you know, this branch will not bear fruit on its own, right? It can't by itself go, bearing fruit, boom, and pop out, right? Pop out fruit. It can't do that because I cut it off from the trunk, right? It's not connected. Now, I can take this and put it in water, and it might stay green for a little bit, but eventually, it'll be done. It'll be dead. I could go ahead and maybe stick it in the dirt, see what might happen, but it'll die. It's not going to produce fruit. I could go to Kroger, where Brian's at, and I could go get some fruit, go buy some grapes, go buy some oranges, go buy some apples, and I could tape fruit to it, thinking that I could maybe show it what it feels like to have fruit on it, so they would know, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to produce that kind of fruit. And it wouldn't work, right? Because it's not connected. It's not connected. And the same way, you and I, if we're not connected to Jesus, if we're not connected to the vine, we're not going to produce any fruit. Jesus is the vine. God the Father's the gardener, and you and I, we are just the branch. We are just the branch. And as much as we would love to produce fruit on our own, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You could try to produce faithfulness and patience and all that on your own, without anybody else thinking, okay, I'm just going to, by my own intestinal fortitude, I'm going to make it happen. It won't happen. You need Jesus every step of the way. Every step of the way. Every step, we need him. The only way we remain, the only way for us to produce fruit is to remain with him, to stay with him. And so this branch just ain't going to do it. The inner fruit that we bear is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of spending time with the Lord, spending time with him. Make sure that you're putting the first thing first. First things first. Minister out of the fullness of your time with the Lord. One fruit that I purposely left off is particularly meaningful to me, I guess you might say. And I don't know if you could, I love this fruit more than I love others. I don't know if you could say that or not, but if I were to rank these, this would be high for me. I don't know why, it just would be. But that's the fruit of joy. The fruit of joy. The fruit of joy is useful in ministry. For me, joy, the joy of the Lord just makes everything just more, and I use this word a lot, just makes it more fun. I want to, when I cross over into heaven, I want to have worked hard and done all I could for the Lord, but I also want to do it with a smile on my face, right? And go, man, Lord, that I don't know what that was. That was a blast. That was a blast right there. I think, and Christy always says this, and I think she's absolutely right, in order for Jesus to get 12 guys to follow him, he had to be fun, right? Otherwise, after a while, people are like, whatever, this guy, you know. Jesus was, I think he was fun. I think it came from the joy that was there. Joy to me makes ministry more bearable. You may hear me laugh a lot. Some of that laughter is because I don't know what else to do with it, right? You know, I'm just like, okay, that was really crappy, but I don't know if I should say that. Sorry, that was really bad, but I'm going to laugh at it anyways, right? I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh in the face of the enemy. I'm going to laugh whatever he throws at me, you know? I think about the, have you ever seen that movie, 300, where they tell the guy the guy says, our arrows will blot out the sun. And they said, we'll fight in the shade. And so all of a sudden, next thing you know, all these arrows are coming at them, and they're under their shields, and all these arrows are kind of going everywhere. And one of them starts laughing. He says, what are you laughing about? He says, you know, fighting in the shade. And they start laughing. And sometimes I think in ministry, when arrows get shot our way from the enemy, sometimes all we can do is just laugh, you know, because the Lord is our shield. He's our rampart. We don't have to worry about things. And so therefore, I'm just going to enjoy the joy of the Lord. You know what joy also does for me? It gives me strength. For whatever reason, I draw strength off of joy. Kind of reminds me of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah and they had built the temple. They built the walls, and they were talking about all their past sins and how they, you know, kind of remembered the history of why they were where they were, how they got into captivity, and all of this. And Nehemiah says, "Go and enjoy the choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared," because the people were like, you know, melancholy, thinking about, man, what you know, the good old days. Before they were in Babylon, and now before the Persia has taken them over, and they were thinking about that. But then it goes on to say this, Nehemiah tells them, this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. Then he says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's something about joy that when it's from the Lord, it's within us, it can't be taken. No matter what circumstance you're in. It's just, you can draw strength off of that. And sometimes at the end of the day, that joy will help you draw enough strength to muster up how to minister to the people around you, even when maybe some, for whatever reason, the circumstances don't make just aren't all that great. The joy of the Lord just seems to help me endure, helps me to endure, causes me to laugh in the face of stress and trials. I think about Acts chapter 5. The apostles get arrested. All of them get arrested. This is after Jesus had died on the cross, rose again, was there for 40 days, ascended into heaven, and now they're ministering on their own without Jesus, right? They got to figure out how to do this without Jesus. And of course, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, right? And so they're ministering. And in Acts chapter 5, all of them are at the temple, and they're ministering, and they all get put in jail. They all get put in jail, and so they're in jail, and then an angel of the Lord comes in and goes, I'm letting you guys out. And so they get out miraculously, right? And the angel says, hey, I need you guys, go back out into the temple court, start ministering. They're like, all right. So in the morning, that's what they do. They go out, and they go out into the temple courts, and they're ministering. The people that were coming to get them from the jail, to take them to the Sanhedrin, to tell them, don't ever do that again, go in, and they don't find them in the jail. Like, where'd they go? They go, I don't know. Then some other guy comes in and goes, hey, those guys you arrested, did you let them go? Because they're out in the courtyard, they're preaching. And they're like, oh man. And so they go out, and they find them out there, and they arrest them, they re-arrest them, bring them back in again, and basically say, don't ever do that again, right? Now, they thought about, a couple of them floated the idea of, let's just kill these guys. And then Gamaliel, who was Saul, who would be Paul, his teacher, said, I don't know if you ought to do that, guys. That just may stir up a hornet's nest. I wouldn't do that. So then they did this. They said, well, we'll just teach them a lesson. And so the scripture says in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, that they had each one of them flogged. So that means that they got either, flogging could have happened in one of two ways. Whipped, not quite like Jesus was at the cross, but could have used a whip, not with cat of nine tails like the Romans did. Romans were brutal. But a whip, or they could have used a cane, which would be, you know, a big old wooden pole. Take off your shirt, stretch you out, and 40 times, they wouldn't go over 40. Sometimes they go 39, right? Sometimes it was 40 minus one, scripture says. But these guys would have probably been hit 40 times on their back. Could you imagine the pain of what that felt like? And each of the disciples were getting this. Can you imagine the Apostle Peter stretched out, getting hit, and their thoughts were about Jesus and what he went through, and they get up. The Apostle Peter goes to put on, you know, his shirt again, and not so sure he wants to put on his shirt because pain's still there. And then you got Andrew, who it's his turn now, and you're watching your brother or watching your disciple, the brothers that you serve with in Christ go through that. And so all of them are, I mean, just pummeled. And then what do? Well, you get to verse 41. By the way, I think about Acts 5, verse 40, and then I think, yeah, I guess ministering here in the United States, here in Lilburn, Georgia, not so bad, right? Not so bad. I don't know about you, but I've never had the authorities come and arrest me twice and then beat me 40 times like that. Pretty interesting. Although we know that some of our brothers and sisters around the world go through that. That's why we need to be praying for the persecuted church. Anyway, that's an aside. Anyway, in verse 41, this is what it says. I want you to see the reaction of the apostles after they've been beaten. The apostles left the Sanhedrin. Catch this. Rejoicing. Man, if I had a paper Bible, I'd circle, underline that. Highlight that. That's the joy of the Lord. They didn't rejoice because it felt great. They didn't rejoice because they wanted that to happen. They rejoiced because there was joy in their hearts. They counted, it says here, because they had been counted worthy of the suffering and disgrace for the name of Jesus. Day after day, here's verse 42. I love this, verse 42. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the kind of rejoicing that doesn't happen unless you've been with Jesus. unless you've got joy in your heart, unless you've allowed the Lord to produce the fruit of joy within you. That is not fruit that you and I can manufacture. We can't just muster it up within us. It doesn't happen that way. It happens with us gathering around the scriptures and in prayer and spending time with the Lord. That kind of fruit is the kind of fruit that will last. And so if you're excited about ministry, if you're excited to see how God will work through you and impact the lives of others, and to see how that's going to work out, my question to you is, are you ready to serve? I mean, are you ready to serve? Are you ready to minister? Are you ready to help people walk one step closer to Jesus? And if you go, absolutely, then awesome. That is good right there. That is good if you are. That is good if you are. Because that's what we've been called to do. But first, be sure that you're remaining with Jesus. Be sure that you are remaining with Jesus. Be sure that you're connected to the vine. Be sure to minister out of the fullness of your time spent with Jesus, that you might serve him with joy and love, patience, kindness, and goodness, and self-control. Put first things first. Put first things first. No doubt, you and I, we were created to be fruitful. And the inner fruit we're to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of our time with him. So here's the thing. What would it look like if you decided? Maybe you're like, dude, I've never done that before. I don't even know where to start. It's okay. I'd start in the New Testament. I'd start in the book of Luke if I were you. That's just me. That's where I would start. In fact, that's where my Bible plan started, was in Luke, oddly enough. I'd start in Luke, and I would say, if you're ADD, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, spend that time with the Lord. Could you imagine what would happen if we look back on this new year, and went on the precipice of 2026, and we went, dude, last year, I spent zero time with Jesus in his word, in prayer. This year, 30 minutes every day. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the fruit that the Lord can produce within you, if that's you? Could you imagine what could happen? Can you imagine what that would look like? What would it look like if we decided to read through the whole New Testament this year? If you just went, you know what? I'm going to start reading through the whole New Testament this year. Man, there's Bible plans for that. You don't have to kind of do all the math on that unless you want to. You don't have to. It's already been done for you. You can find those on the YouVersion Bible app. Just make it happen. Imagine what it would look like for you to begin to make notes in your Bible and then eventually find someone that doesn't have a Bible and say, hey, man, I got a Bible for you. And you already got all your notes right there for them so they can learn and spend time with God. Imagine what that would look like. Imagine what it would be to be able to understand more of God's word and what God is saying to you, for you to open it up and hear God speak to you from his word. Because every time we read it, it's God speaking to us. That's the incredible thing. Could you imagine what that would be like? What kind of fruit could God really produce within us if we just spent time with him? And how could we use that fruit for his glory? How could we use that fruit to help draw people one step closer to him? If we just spent time with Jesus, just kind of every day, right? In John 15, starting in verse 9 through 11, Jesus kind of continues. He says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Now catch verse 11. He says this, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The only way that our joy is ever complete, the only way to fill us up with total joy, is to spend time with Jesus, to spend time with him. As we come to this time of communion, we ought to be the most joyful, optimistic people ever. You know, we should be the most joyful people alive on the planet, knowing that not only is this life great with God, but the next life is going to be even better, right? That joyfulness, knowing that we have a Savior who died for us, who loved us enough to go to the cross. I don't know about you, but I don't know of anybody else that's ever done that for me. But Jesus did. Jesus loved us enough, went to the cross, died for our sins, and then rose again 3 days later, gave us victory over sin and death because of that. And I look at this and go, how amazing is that? And then I go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is interesting because the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 talks about the great cloud of witnesses and all the great people that have gone on before and all the things that they did. And then you get to chapter 12 and he just says Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, and whenever we see a therefore, we need to stop and ask, what's that therefore, right? It means we need to pay attention because something is coming that we need to really maybe underline, circle, or highlight, right? And so he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And by the way, here at MC3, look around you just real quick. Just look at the person next to you, around you, behind you, you know, kind of study faces. This is your great cloud of witnesses right now, right? Cheering you on. They're here to cheer you on, right? Not only that, but there's those in heaven cheering us on. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Catch this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For, catch this, the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For his joy. Now, did Jesus, in the garden, he was like, okay, that's going to be tough, right? But Jesus knew what he needed to do. For the joy set before him, went to the cross, paid for our sins, and then rose 3 days later. Victory. Victory over sin and over death. And the only way that we can have that victory is we come to him. As if we come to him. And so today, I want you to remember Jesus' body. Remember his blood. Remember what he did for you and for me. Because the only way that we have access to the Father, the only way that we get to remain in him, right? The only way that we get to spend time with him is unless he goes to the cross and dies for us and pays for our sins. Once that happens, once Jesus does that and raises from the dead, we have access to the Father. And so you and I, right now, we have access to him, which is absolutely incredible. At any moment, you can just bow wherever you are. Or if you're in your truck, you could just drive and keep your eyes open and start talking to him, and he'll be there right beside you, hanging out. That's amazing to me how that happens. All you and I have to do is decide that we want to connect with him and remain connected to him. And so today, communion, man, it lollipops it for us. Super simple. All we have to do is come before him and say, here I am, Lord. I'm here to meet with you. Won't you meet with me? And I guarantee you, in a heartbeat, he will. And once that happens, then he can begin to produce fruit within us. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you that, Father God, that you're the gardener. You know exactly how to prepare the soil, get everything ready for us. Jesus, I thank you that you're the vine. All we have to do is stay connected to you. That's it. Just stay connected. You make it super simple, super easy for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, each and every day to be reminded, Lord God, that we need to keep the main thing, that we're created to be fruitful, and so therefore we need to make sure, Lord God, to stay connected to you. And, Father, you made a way for that. You made a way so that we can stay connected by going to the cross, paying for our sacrifice, our sins, You died for us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And today, Lord God, we honor you, we remember you, and we thank you for being the perfect sacrifice for us. So bless us as we partake, Father God, Lord, as we draw near to you. And Father, we want you to produce whatever fruit you need to produce within us, Lord God. Lord, we're willing to do whatever it is you want us to do. Lead us, guide us, show us, whatever it is. But Father, I pray that you would, that if you don't, as Moses said, if you won't go with us, we don't go. We will only go and minister if we stay connected to you. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder in your word to stay connected, to remain in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, man, life's tough. If you need someone to pray with you, I'll be right over here. I'm going to get Jim Walters, actually, right over here to pray, because I think we're missing a couple of folks today. So, Jim, if you'll stay over here, I'm going to come over here. If you need someone to pray with you today, Jim will pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you've got some questions about baptism, if you've got questions about joining the church, come see me. I'm happy to help you make those steps so you can be one step closer to him today. But whatever you do, don't waste this time. Spend time with the Lord. Connect with him today.